Morning. Wherever you are, whether it's in your living room, in your dining room, in your car, on your iPhone, at the computer at your office, I just want to welcome you and tell you that this will not last forever. We will be back. I guarantee you that. I promise you that. When? I don't know, but we will be back. I just want y'all to know that I miss each and every one of you all, and I thank you so much for tuning in every week to watch these on your TV and on your computers. Disclaimer: if you don't adjust your sets, don't check your internet connection, don't call Facebook and have me put in Facebook jail. I am not Donnie Lamb, Pastor Donnie. Okay. Now, on that note, don't turn me off and go back to Netflix now. Just stay with me because I got a great message for you today. But I just want to take this time to tell you guys that I miss you. And I thank Donnie for the opportunity to come and give you this message today. You know, it's April 19th. It's the week after Easter. And as you know, I have kind of put out there the whole woo thing. And I always told you that it applies to anything in life. So just, it even applies to Easter. He has risen. Woo! He has risen indeed. Woo! And I know there will be a time really, really soon where we'll be sitting here in these pews and I'll be able to give you a great big woo one more time. You know, a man and his wife and his cranky mother-in-law took a vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, unfortunately, the mother-in-law passed away. So they're sitting there with the undertaker, and the undertaker tells the man, he's like, "Sir, for $5,000, we can ship your mother-in-law back to the United States and she can be buried in the family cemetery plot. Or she can be buried here in the Holy Land for $150. So the man got to thinking, and the undertaker looks at him, he goes, "Well, you know, what would you like to do?" And he thought some more, and he said, "Just ship her on back to the United States, and we'll bury her there." And the undertaker kind of had a puzzled look about himself, and he said, "Well, sir, do you understand it's $5,000, but here in the Holy Land itself, it's only $150. The guy was looking down. He looked up and said, "Sir, about 2,000 years ago, a man died on a cross here, was buried, and rose again in 3 days. I can't take that chance." So, and that, Janice, that's not directed towards you. I want y'all to know, disclaimer, I have the greatest mother-in-law in the world. So, let me tell you how I got this message this week. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Donnie texted me and he said, "Hey, Nate, you want to give the message on the 19th? And I was like, "I'd love to. It's great. I enjoy this." So, I sit down and I said, "All right, I got this. With everything that's going on, I put together a sermon about fear." Well, little behold to me, next Sunday, Pastor Donnie preaches about fear. So it cut that one. The second one, I sat down and I started drafting it, and I'm like, okay, I'll talk about being on the fence, you know, being in the world and being in God and how they go together and how you have to be. I even had a title for it. You can't ride two horses with one saddle. Well, that kind of fizzled away and didn't come together, and I was like, you know what? It's the Sunday after Easter. Let me talk about the Ascension. Nobody talks about the Ascension. I said, we just had Palm Sunday. We just had Easter. How about the Ascension? So I started putting that together, and then April 8th came. It's April 8th, late in the afternoon. I'm sitting in my kitchen table on the computer, and we lose power. Addie and Corey are over with Janice spending the night, and Renee and Lynn were off doing something, and I said, well, I guess the power ain't gonna come back on, so I went to bed. So I'm laying there in the bed a couple minutes, my phone rings. It's Janice. Corey is completely upset, and it's like, "Daddy, I want you to come get me." So I said, okay. So I get my truck, and I ride over there, and Corey comes out. She's got this, like, scared-to-death look on her face. She's crying. She crawls up into my truck, and I asked her, I said, "Baby, what's wrong?" She goes, "I'm scared, Daddy, I'm scared." I said, "Well, honey, you don't have to be scared. You know, I'm here now." So I take her back home, and we go to bed, and I'm like, she's all cuddled up next to me, and within minutes, she's back to her normal self. And that got me thinking, you know, if my 6-year-old, soon to be 7, needs her daddy when things are bad or things get scary. We need our Heavenly Father when we go through the same exact thing. So I've titled this message, it's called In the Eye of the Storm. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know we're not here in your church, but we are at home watching this now, Lord, and we just thank you that we have a Heavenly Father that we can come to when the storms of life hit or when we get scared. You will wrap your loving arms around us, and you will always be with us, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for each and every one of the members of this church. I pray for each and every one of them. I lift them up to you that you get us through, and you will get us through this coronavirus and this stay-at-home order, Lord. There will be a day when all this is done, and we will be back here, Lord, and I thank you. I just ask that you consume this place, consume this message, consume me, and let me give the words and the message that you laid upon my heart to give, Lord. And I just pray, where everybody's at, whether it be in their living room or wherever, that you just consume their households, consume their thoughts right now, and just let them just come together and worship you. And we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we give you the glory, because it's all about you, Lord, and not about us. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Matthew 8, we'll be reading 23 through 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, Lord, save us! We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and the storm was completely calm. The men were amazed, and they kind of, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." You know, as most people know, that's a story of the calming of the storm. My first point today is going to be, when the storms of life hit, call on your Heavenly Father. You know, as a nation right now, we are in a great storm. Nothing like this would have ever thought I'd ever been through in my life. And I'm sure a lot of you out there think the exact same thing. We are in a great storm. COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, we are in a major storm. So right now, throughout the United States and the world, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of panic. They're panicking just as the disciples were when this storm hit. But when this storm hit and the disciples got so scared and were so afraid, who did they turn to? They turned to Jesus. Jesus was in the boat. He's quiet. He's asleep. He doesn't have a care in the world. He had been preaching hard. He went out and he said, "I'm going to take a nap." So then he lays down. Then the wind starts blowing. The rain comes in. And these disciples are running around in panic mode like they're at the Walmart and somebody just coughed and sneezed on them without wearing a mask. And they're like, "Jesus, Lord, Lord, help us. Jesus, help us." And he gets up and he looks them square in the face and goes, "Ye of little faith, why be afraid?" You know, just as Corey wanted me, and I was able to calm her down, and I was able to give her what she needed not to be scared, because the main fact was, I was there. Our Heavenly Father tells us the same thing. Joshua 1, verse 5, you don't have to turn there. There's a lot of scripture in this today, so you don't have to keep up. Just listen with me. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Then you can flip over to 1 Kings 8:57. "The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us." Man, I love that phrase. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know what? Even when the storms of life are hitting, you're beat down, you're overwhelmed, you think you can't go on, remember those words, God's words. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, we have a lot of worries about our situations, whether it be our health, whether it be how we're going to pay the mortgage. What happens if I lose my job? What if I get furloughed? What if my relationship goes through tough times? You know what? When those times hit, when they hit, you got to remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did the Lord promise that we'd have a storm-free life? Absolutely not. You can read that Bible from cover to cover. Not one time does God say, all right, you're a Christian. All right, you've given your life to Jesus and you've given your life to God. You're fine. You're done. Everything's sunshine and rainbows. No, it's not. It's thunderstorms. It's lightning. It's rain, because God does not promise that. And the great thing is, He might not promise it, but He can definitely help you through it. The Lord did provide a way for us to deal with storms through prayer, meditation, and fasting. Those three ways is how we deal with the storms of life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. We have been called according to His purpose. God is our Redeemer, and He works in us and through us during these storms. He works in good times, He works in bad times, in the sunshine, in the rain, in the pain, in the joy. No matter what, He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. The first part of that is the key. Cast your cares upon the Lord. You have to cast them upon the Lord. Does He know your cares? Yes. Does He know what you're going through? Yes. But He wants you to say it to Him. Cast your cares upon Him. Give it to Him. Lay them at the foot of this cross. Lay them at the foot of the cross. But the thing is, walk away. Don't pick them up and put them in your pockets as you're going out. You have to cast your cares upon the Lord. Throughout my life, I've had many storms. Some have been hurricanes. Some have been a quick summer thunder shower. It's what we go through in life. But I have found that when you pray, you can pray your way through any storm, no matter what. And you're saying, Nathan, you know, you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, I don't. Everybody goes through different things, but God knows what you're going through. He is your Heavenly Father. Just as Corey wanted my comfort, God wants us to call for Him for comfort, because He loves us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. James 1, verse 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James is saying here, it's a joy. It's pure joy, because we're going to go through trials in life. We're going to have hard times. And the testing of our faith will produce perseverance. We need to have confidence when going through these storms. Our confidence and our belief in God, our Heavenly Father, is what gets us through these storms. You know, God is always working in our lives. We've heard pastors say that for years. He's always working in life, and He is. But you know what? When that mortgage can't get paid, or when that job kind of cuts you off, He's still working through us. He is still there for us. He's still going to work through all this, through the trials, through the hard times, and I guarantee you, I promise you, the Lord promises you, when you get through these storms, the clouds will go away, the thunder stops thundering, it stops raining, then what comes? Sunshine. Then comes the sunshine. But, once again, even though that sunshine comes, does that mean there ain't going to be no more storms? Do we only have one storm a year? No. Next thing you know, a little thunderstorm shakes here, or, you know, we get rain for a couple days. That is the trials and the hard times that we go through, that God is with us. We do not gain strength by living easy lives. And like I said, God doesn't promise you an easy life. He will build a deeper faith and perseverance through tough times and through storms and the storms of life. So He will always, always be there for you. Because once again, He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you don't get nothing else from this message, I ask that you remember that He will never leave you nor forsake you, because God is always with you. My second point is, the storms of life can hit quick and hit hard. If you think about it, they're out on the Sea of Galilee. It's about 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. It sits in a depression that's almost 700 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains, and that rise about 2,000 feet above sea level. So you think about it. The water's down here, the mountains are up here, okay? That's what you're looking at. So when this wind comes down off them mountains and hits that water, believe you me, that's a storm like you ain't never seen before. And creating sudden, violent storms on the Sea of Galilee, even to this day, they still occur. Just like that one when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. When the storms of life hit, they hit hard and they hit fast. Do you see them coming? Most of the time you don't. But they do. They will come, and they do hit hard, and they do hit fast. So let me tell you something very important for you to know. God already knows what storms will hit you in life. Hey, and the thing is, the best part, He already knows how it's going to end up. But He wants to know that you know you're going through that storm. You know, do you think you could go through a storm in life and not realize it's a storm? Of course. But, you know, you say, God knows this. You know, why am I going through this? Because God wants you, like I said before, God wants you to tell Him. You know, He wants you to speak it. So He knows that you know that this is a storm, that this is a test, that this is your life, and that it's getting hit hard, and He wants you to turn to your Heavenly Father. But all we have to do is ask God to be with us and calm that storm. And once again, if y'all remember, the last time I gave a message is about God's timing. He's going to calm your storm, but it's going to be in His time, not yours. You're not going to go to bed at night with a storm and wake up and it's sunshine and happy. It's in His time, because He knows how to take care of the storm, how to get you through the storm, how to work through you in the storm. So remember that. Job 23:10. But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. You know, Job, if y'all remember the book of Job and what Job went through, and so you know that he went through some tough storms. Those were a lot of tough storms. But as we go through these storms, we're being tested, and He reminds us that we will come out of it on the other side better, we will come out stronger, and shining within like a brand new piece of gold. You know, John 16:33 also says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay? Last weekend we celebrated God overcoming the world. When Jesus died on that cross, was buried in that tomb, and rose again, He just said, I have overcome the world. You know, that's just a great and powerful blessing that people at times can get tied up into the ceremonial things. It's like Christmas. A lot of people focus on presents. They don't focus on Jesus coming to this earth. And Easter, you know, they focus on chocolate bunnies and Cadbury eggs and peanut butter Reese eggs, whatever's your, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we got to focus on what He did for us that we celebrated last weekend. He overcame death and overcame the world in 3 days. 3 days. When Jesus said, it is finished, He surrenders Himself to God, He's put in the tomb, and then the stone is rolled away, and he's risen again. He overcame the world. Nobody else has ever done this. No other religion has anybody that they pray to that has overcome death. God gives us peace in this world because His Son Jesus died on that cross and rose again in three days. Jesus was victorious, and the same power works in us today, gives us hope and we will overcome because Jesus is in us. And what? Jesus will not leave us nor forsake us. I told you, if there's one point that's going to be driven home today, that's going to be it. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, the Heavenly Father wants a relationship with you. He wants you to call on your Heavenly Father. He is always listening to your prayers, and He's ready to help you no matter what storm will blow. He wants that. He wants that. You are His children. We are His children. And when we pray to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to help through these storms, He's not going to say, "I ain't got time for that. You know, I ain't worried about you. JoJo over here's got more problems than you do." He will listen, and He will, in His time, walk you by the hand and by the heart through these storms and these storms of life. In closing, the storm of life will blow, the rains will come, and through faith and prayer, our Heavenly Father is ready to get up and calm the storm. When you're overwhelmed in life and you get on your knees and you pray and ask God to help you through the storm, it's just like Jesus. He walks out, spreads His arms, and calms the storm of your life. You know, like the song by Ryan Stevenson says, "In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm." So no, every storm we go through in life, everything that beats us down, our Heavenly Father's got His arms wrapped around us. He surrounds us and takes us through these storms and brings us out on the other side. So when the storm is raging, we need to remember one thing. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to let us get out in these weather and drown. He's going to take us by the hand and walk us through it. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. In your life, the foundation of your faith, the foundation of your life, and through the storms, we need to stand, just as we did as a church when the Church of the Brethren said, "Hey, we're going to allow same-sex marriages." We stood on the Word of God. We stood on the rock that is God, and that is what we need to do when we are going through the storms of our lives. Folks, I challenge you this week. I challenge you, you know, we're on a coronacation, I guess is what they're calling it now, and we have a lot of time on our hands. And I know it's driving some of us stir crazy. We're getting, it's funny because the people that love to stay at home, now they're tired of staying home. So take some time. I challenge you this week, take some time. Set aside some time. Go and talk to your Heavenly Father. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's on your mind. Or just talk to Him. You know, the weird thing is I always walk up. I go up to the top of the hill. I climb in my tree stand, and I sit there, and I talk to God. I pray. I got my phone. I do my little devotional. But, you know, that time when I can tell God anything, it's quiet. It's peaceful. And God comes into my heart and says, "Nathan, I got this." And I know in my heart that Jesus died on that cross for my sins and yours, arose again in 3 days, and we are forgiven. But we have to confess it with our lips. The Bible says If you know in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you will be saved. It didn't say, hey, just say it with, you know, believe it in your heart. Confess with your mouth. So when you're out there and you're praying and you're in that time, confess everything to the Lord with your mouth. Tell Him, I love you. Tell Him, I'm sorry. Tell Him whatever you're going through. Because, once again, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've pounded home a message of you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I know that's true. Lord, I know it. I know there's a lot of people that know it. And in these uncertain times, we really need to really believe that you will not leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I just thank you for this message that you laid upon my heart. And I pray and ask that you be with every one of our church family, every one of your children. I just pray that you be with us through these next couple weeks, next couple months, as this whole coronavirus comes and goes. Because it will. We know it, Lord. We know this storm will pass. The rains will stop and the sun will come out and we'll be back in here worshiping you. And the greatest thing is, Lord, we're going to give you the praise and the glory because we know you are in control, Lord. We know that you got this. And I just thank you and praise you and I give you the glory. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. In your precious Son's name I pray. Amen. I appreciate you tuning into this message today. And if you liked it or if it touched you in any way, Lord, we just ask you people to like us on Facebook, you know, and share it as much as you can so we can get that message out there. Because it's our job as Christians to deliver these messages to people. And maybe somebody, some faraway state, or is going through some tough times, and they'll be able to watch this and it touched them just because you liked it or shared it. And we thank you once again for being with us today.